come unto Christ and be perfect in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. May we continue with hymn number 284.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful, Lord, for this time that we could come together and to worship You and to draw closer to You and to hear Your spoken word. I pray, Lord, that You will forgive us for our sins and those shortcomings that we have in our lives that might hinder the Spirit this day, that nothing that we have done will cause Your Spirit not to be here. For we have already felt it this morning, Lord, and I pray that You continue to pour it out upon us. I pray that You be with George, that the words that You've given to him that come freely, and that You'll prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we can receive those and that we can all truly be blessed this day. I pray these things in Your Son's holy name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
like to take the scripture reading this morning from the fourth section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And those of you who brought your books with you, I certainly invite you to follow along. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all of your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God in the last day. Therefore, if ye have desires to serve God, ye are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store, that he perish not, but bringeth salvation unto his soul. And faith, hope, charity, and love with an eye single to the glory of God qualifieth him for the work. Remember, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, diligence. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
I sure thank my brothers for filling in this morning on short notice, and appreciate their ministry they brought. And I'm pleased to introduce to you this morning 70 George Thomas. And I'm sure he needs no introduction. I'm sure we all know him. And if you meet him in a Walmart store or anywhere, you don't want to hear about the Lord, but about the second word he says. So I'm pleased to introduce you to him this morning.
Well, I'm really excited about being here this morning. I have been looking forward to this. I have to tell you, I really wished I was in Bill and Steve's suitcase and riding along. So when I was over there the last time, there's about 15 souls over there. We had slipped down over the border legally. Down there into India, and we got into this town. We were about 5 miles from several missionaries who had just been burnt to death a couple of weeks earlier, and so we tried to operate a little bit incognito, And they have these buildings that don't have walls on them, and they have a stairway up and a cement floor, and a stairway up and a cement floor. And we were about four stories up, and there was one more story above us, but we were able to sit there on the cement and have shade and teach the gospel. And there was such a powerful spirit as we were sharing. Each one of the young men requested to be baptized. The problem was there was no water. And I was hoping that the next time I went, that maybe I could go down there and rekindle the flame and get them up into Nepal and find the water to baptize. I've never been able to return. You know, we have another set of folks, and this happens to you. It's not a special missionary. You're called as a member, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I still see that the member is the highest calling, because I've always seen it as is that here's the member. Down below them is the Aaronic priesthood, and down below there's the Melchizedek, and right on down. And it's our job to push them up. The membership. When we talk about sharing the gospel and bearing testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a 70 who's supposed to be doing this only. It's not just the elder who is supposed to be doing this only, nor the priest, nor the teacher, nor the deacon. Hey, it's called a member. And I think we have a few members here this morning. By the way, Micah and Joan really appreciated that. I was just traveling with Mike and Jonah out in California. And we went to a number of homes. We had some really good discussions and services and served the communion in some. Was able to call on these two guys just like that, and they would give special music. Not only would they give special music, but automatically they were always ready and willing to share a testimony of the living Christ. And this gave me some real encouragement and excitement. Plus, this reflects really well on their parents, that they have properly taught their children. And you know, as you look at yourselves as parents back here, we have some young ones back here, what an opportunity, because a lot of your young people here, and I'm not just going to limit this to the young. Somebody said, from the cradle to the grave, okay? All of us are to be valiant in testimony and looking for an opportunity to share about Jesus. And I know a lot of us don't. Some of us say, well, it's not my calling. Some of us say, well, I really don't have time. I keep hearing that other one. It's not my gift. Give me a break. You know, some people say, well, I don't know enough. I'm not asking somebody to give us the whole story of the church. I'm not talking about getting into the story of the Mormons and the Nauvoo and all of church history. What is your testimony of the living Christ? Just the very basics. You know, yesterday, I happened to go to this garage sale. And out of the blue, and I don't know how this happens, but sometimes the Lord just says, hey, go for it. It's not a bolt of lightning. It's not a strong wind. But it just sort of comes. And the first thing I know that, here, this man is an elder in the old RLDS church, and he left the church back in 84 and has never returned. And I said, wow. But he did have an opportunity to hear some good testimonies and learn about some of the things that's happening. I did leave him my card, and he said he would be contacting me. The other hand, folks, I now know where he lives. See? But now, if you should happen to have a desire to share, number one, hey, pray about it. If you wonder if you're even supposed to share and bear testimony of Jesus Christ, pray about it. And it's amazing. Some people pray and they are so amazed when the Lord answers them. You need to watch what you pray for. But you just never know. Hey, this is your window in time. Some of us, we don't know how many more summers we have. I would like to live on forever, personally, and I'd like to have the Lord say, hey, George, go. We are so surprised when things really stop us for a while. But let me tell you, even when the Lord puts a little block in your way, I was stuck in the hospital here a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a month. Time runs together.
February.
Well, it was a longer month. But anyway, I was going to have this little heart catheterization where they run that poker up down by your knee or crotch or somewhere. And you know, now when you go in the morning, you say, Lord, I just desire to be available to you today. Hey, that's a good one. Now, if you want to do something and you're having prayer at the breakfast, or even before you get out of bed, and you say, Jesus, I just desire to be available. Be aware, because here I ended up in the hospital laying on that bed, sort of in the nude. Didn't care for that. What was one of those air-conditioned nightgowns. And they pull that around so they can sort of shave you from the knee to the chest. You know, we ended up talking about Jesus. We used the cast, C-A-S-T, commonalities, associations or activities, things you're passionate about, maybe your hobbies. S stands for spiritual. Have you ever had a spiritual experience? Have you ever had a prayer answer? Have you ever had an experience with Jesus? That's what spiritual is. T is time for your testimony. You know, the Lord opened up the door. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, presto. She ended up taking our name and address and where she could go to church. She lives over in a town called Blue Springs. And things happen. I mean, you just never know when. I was talking to another girl a couple of days ago, ripe old member of the church. She's probably 18. I said, have you ever had an experience with Jesus? She says, no. And then she said, we talked a little bit more about Jesus. She says, I just know that he is and he's real. I says, well, maybe we can go a little bit further sometimes and help you have a real personal relationship with Jesus so it's more than just a feeling. But, you know, brothers and sisters, as we just read in the scriptures here a while ago, and he says the field is white, all ready to harvest. Hey, that's why Steve and Bill's on their way to India. Things are happening over. Let me tell you what happened last week. We was up at the 70s reunion, and we were able to start discussing about the domestic ministry. Because we hear a lot about what's happening in Africa and Central America and India, Nepal, these types of things. But what's happening right here? And we have people who are scattered all over. Now, if we were really going to say what was happening and what's happening personally, then we would have Jonah and Micah come up and share a couple of testimonies. I ought to do that. Jonah, come here. Now, I try to give people a lot of warning. Jonah, I'm only going to give you 2 minutes.
Okay.
Share what happened to you.
Okay. One day, he took us to up here
just a fishing pier in California, and he told us to split up and go find people to talk to who would be willing to hear about the gospel, and just to find people who wanted to hear about Jesus. So we went out and tried to find people. Some people just wanted to fish. Some people, you know, we started conversation with them, and they just kept turning it back to other things. But finally, I think Micah found first, yeah. This day, Micah found two guys who...
Don't take Micah's testimony now.
Okay, make sure another way. But Micah found two guys who were willing to listen. And I come up to him, I was like about 10 feet away, and I'm kind of looking at him like, you know, should I come? And he's like, yeah, come on in. They're ready. And so we spent a long time, hours with them, and were able to talk with them. You know, they were ready to spend hours because they were just there fishing. But they were talking with us. It ends up that they were both recent Christians. One of them was just 9 months a Christian. Another one was just a month a Christian. And one of them had been in prison for a really long time and just gotten out. And they're both completely ready to change their lives around and were trying to. And they had found Jesus to be real in that he helped them to be different than they were before, and they were really, really nice guys, and apparently they were not really, really nice guys, like, not too long before that. And they were listening to everything we had to say about coming to a covenant with the Lord and the restoration of the truth and how, all of the things that we finally got to share with them all about the gospel. We got their contact information, and they'd like us to come back and talk to them.
So. Okay, your 2 minutes is up, brother.
Now, you know, frankly, I would like to be able to call on any of you at a moment. Now, I know better than that nowadays, because I was at a church one time up in another part of another state, and we had been discussing about sharing a testimony, and everybody should have a 2-minute testimony ready to go right now. Well, when the sermon was over, I was informed that the pastor's wife preferred me never to come back because I made her feel uneasy. So, but you know, brothers and sisters, this is a gospel. And this is something we should really be excited about. Do you realize that if you cared enough just to walk across the room and witness of your testimony of Jesus Christ, do you realize you could change somebody's life for eternity? I mean, when you have a few minutes and the tube's not on and you're sitting in your easy chair, take a few minutes and ponder that thought. Micah, you're not off the hook. Would you please come? Now, I only do this because they know I would probably do it.
What do you want me to do?
I want your best testimony.
My best testimony?
Yeah.
All right. From the
2 minutes at the latest. Whatever your heart's desire. Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. From the trip that we were on, we had the opportunity to meet with a family called the Ramirez's. They're the Ramirez family. And we sat down and started talking to them, and there was a young lady that was there, and she was kind of sitting off to the side, had a little boy in her arms, and her name was Alexis, and she was kind of quiet, wasn't paying attention, but wasn't saying much. And Yolanda Ramirez, which was the mother of the home, she was not a shy person by any stretch of the imagination. And so she introduced Alexis to us and started telling us about her life. And she was actually not part of the family; she was just a friend, and telling her about her life and how her mother, you know, was they were Catholic, and her mother wanted her young boy to be christened. Isaac was his name, and she was uncomfortable with that because she didn't want him to be part of a church, you know, before he had the opportunity to make that decision. He's like, she just didn't think that was right, and we said, well, we believe that it's not right as well. And so we went to Matthew and we showed where Jesus said that the little babies had no guilt, and they little children had no guilt, and you know, went through all the stuff, and he said, but we do believe in something called baby blessing. And so we told her about baby blessing, and we went through the Book of Mormon experience where the Lord blessed the children, and they got to see what that blessing was for the angels to come down to minister to the children until a time that they could make a decision on their own. And she asked, well, can you do that for my baby? And so right there, then, in that room, she had her little baby Isaac blessed, and that was awesome.
Hey, we just never know. This is why I see the Holy Spirit just moves like a gentle breeze so many times. And it's what we need to do is tune in and listen what He's saying to our heart. And if we would just take some time and pray and invite that Holy Spirit into our life and say, Lord, help me hear You if I'm messing up. Help me look for the spot, because we are in a place where He says, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Hey, we believe in a living God. If you're nervous about launching out, His promise to you is, I am with you always. Experiment with Him, brothers and sisters, because it's an exciting time. And you never know the ripple effect. We had passed out some Book of Mormons several months ago up on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Interesting thought, a couple of days later after this baby blessing took place there in El Cajon, received a phone call from Sister Coleman up in on the Pine Ridge. She's not really a sister yet, but, you know, I've known him long enough time, and certainly I think of his sister and Brother Coleman. She says, George, Pastor George, we've been reading this Book of Mormon that you passed out to us. We got to that spot there in 3 Nephi, and it was talking about where Jesus blessed the babies. Do you believe in doing that? I said, yes. Is it possible you could come up and possibly teach some classes on this and that of baptism also, and then bless our babies? And see, you just never know. excuse me. Unfortunately, I was on my way up a couple of weeks ago, and we were between Sioux City, Iowa, and Omaha, and I got a phone call. He says, Pastor George, don't come. And he says, we had 8 inches of rain last night. We can't get out, and you can't get in. So we turned our trip into a different direction for a while. Doug Patterson's up there right now for this week, and he and his wife, and they're bringing ministry. You know, I can't go everywhere. I am really limited at times, just like you are. But if you have a heart's desire and would like to go, you know, if you're praying about it and you say, Jesus, I would just like to be a servant today. If you'll guide me, hey, I will try to respond. I was sitting at a restaurant one time up top of a building, I guess I'd say, in Kathmandu. And we were talking with a group of men who had been out doing some fishing. Fishers of men, okay? And as I looked across the way, here was a couple. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, George, go talk to them. Went over, started the conversation. Come to find out they were from Goa, India. They were really from Scotland, but they were in Nepal because they had to be out of India for such a long little period there. Case in point, conversation went to Jesus. Excuse me. Went all the way in, and they said, is there any way we can get a Bible? I says, I'll be back this afternoon, and I'll meet you same place. Later on that afternoon, they said, we can't stay long because we've got to catch our plane back to India. But can you come down sometime, and we would like to be baptized. And then if it's possible, I would really like you to take the gospel to our family up in Scotland. Again, I hate to say that I didn't follow through. But You know, when I was 60, turned 60, and I retired, I was in great health, and I thought I was going to live forever. 65, I had a quadruple bypass, and that's one thing like after another. And I haven't been allowed to fly across the big pond since. Brothers and sisters, if you have a desire to go serve the Lord Jesus Christ, don't put it off till next week, or don't put it off till next month or next year. Hey, now is your window in time. You know, there's souls out there who are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it's really going to be heavy on some of us here, who get up there and they say, "Hey, Rudy, why didn't you tell me?" Or one of our other sisters back here, Sister Norman, "Why didn't you tell me? You've known me all these years. You know, why didn't you tell me about Jesus?" You know, look at it this way. If you were built your finest dream home that you have ever wanted in your life, I mean, it had the latest things. Money was no object. It had the curtains, the exact color, the windows, exactly one. It had the latest type of bed that you push the button and it made it up for you. You had the other button gadgets there, you know. Washing and ironing, that's a thing of the past. Look, let me show you what I've got. Come. And you just pushed a couple of buttons and zip, zip, zip. You wouldn't be shy about your new home. You wouldn't leave the people out on the foyer or the porch. Especially if it's a good friend or somebody you've known. Say, "Come on in. Let me show you what I've got." Hey, brother and sisters, we're talking about eternal life. You know, the songs we sing, what a glorious thing to be in the light. Do you really believe it, or do you just give lip service to it? You know, we find there in the book of Jude, he says, hey, strongly contend for the faith. How strongly have you been contending lately? Do you come and warm a seat? Does that count? Do you carry your book? Your tools. You know, 5 books of the Bible. Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, songbook, and your pocketbook. So, how do you see the Lord? Does he live within you? You know, some people say, hey, they can tell me just by the way I'm walking. I'm a really good person, and I reflect Jesus. Hey, give me a break. It's so much more than that. And if you feel that way, that says strongly that you haven't been searching the Scriptures. You know, the Scriptures talk about, hey, be a good soldier. I want to be able to count on you. Hey, what about the priesthood here? You know, just because you've been ordained, does that exactly make you an elder or a priest or a teacher or a deacon? And I come and I sit up front on different occasions when I'm asked. But, you know, I don't even know you when we're out the door. Brothers and sisters, I'm just saying, hey, it's a lifestyle. We talk about maybe growing the church bigger here in this area, in this part of the vineyard. If it was really depending on you, and you look at the way you have been witnessing, do we need to talk about another building? Or is it just, well, I've been there today and I've done my service. You know, I showed up. Is it more than that? Boy. You know, one of the things I find in the Scriptures that has penetrated me so heavy, there's been times I would like to say, forget the whole thing. I have to admit. I have been tired. I've been discouraged. It would be easy to turn your back. But when you read it there in the Book of Mormon and the other places, he says, he who remains faithful to the end, period. And I think it's a whole lot more than just sitting there in the pew and remaining faithful to keep it warm. Brothers and sisters, I really wish that we as brothers and sisters could come together in a common thought that it counts something for each one of us. I don't know if you have a women's department here yet, but the women's department has such a powerful area to support the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in every area. The Zion's League, when it works in its proper function, has such a powerful impact on the young people in the future church. If it wasn't for some good Zion's League leaders, I might not be here today. But it was some Zion's League leaders who cared enough and took me aside and said, George, let's make sure. You know, there's a sister, she's going to have cottage meetings in her house. Hey, this Sister Dunphy, Cora Dunphy, bless her soul. Hey, she was 96 years old. And she still had her home open to have cottage meetings. Hey, it was hot to go into that house. But there was a spirit of the Lord and those people sang in her little apartment. And that's where I really learned. I think of another guy, Brother Stuckey. This is before I was baptized. Brother Stuckey, he says, at a prayer meeting, and strange how you remember some of the testimonies, even though it's, well, let me see, 55 years ago. Okay, so I had to think of how long ago. Even though it was over 55 years ago, he said, I had a dream the other night that I'm about ready to step on the other side. And he says, I have found out that I'm going down into the prison house to teach the prisoners about Jesus. He says, I can't think of anything more exciting than that. I said, wow. Hey, 2 weeks later, he was dead. So I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it is sort of plain yogurt, shame on you. If you would like to put a little spice and pick up in it, tell the Lord in the morning when you have your prayer that you would like to be available, that you would like to come alive in Him. If you're having a hard time praying at night when you go to bed, throw your shoes back under the bed so in the morning when you're down on your knees pulling out your shoes, you're in position. Okay? But things can happen. It goes on and on. When we think of our trip out into the West, it's always amazing how many people there are to witness to. I get excited about walking around the mall right there in Independence, and I like to find somebody who's sitting there keeping a bench warm. And I like to sit in there, and I'll slide up next to them and sit there. One of the ways I get a conversation going, I say, how many laps around this place is there a mile? Ooh, I get all types of numbers. Well, that's broke the ice, see? And then I start saying, who are you? And how's things going? What kind of work did you do or do you do? What kind of hobbies are you into? A little bit back and forth. Have you ever had an experience with Jesus? Or do you go to church? Or have you ever had a prayer answered? And I get strange answers sometimes. One of the neat ones is, well, I don't know anything about this Jesus thing. Presto, that is a green flag, okay? That means that if I could get on a little bit further and I have a chance to share my testimony about Jesus Christ, I like to go on over, and I sometimes carry this little book. It's one of those Gideon Bibles, and I know
It's not where everybody, but I carry one of those many times on the plane when I'm traveling. And in the back, it has those different scriptures about Jesus, how much he loves us, that he died on the cross, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go on down to the thing where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through me. See, and most of us should have these types of scriptures memorized, or at least be able to talk in it generally. And then you go on over to the spot there in Revelation 3:20 where he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we are to invite him in. Hey, I have no problem in saying, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? And if the word is yes, I says, here, we'll just have a short prayer. You believe in the Lord Jesus to the best of your ability. You recognize that you're a sinner. And I say, and I help them through the prayer and invite Jesus into their heart. The whole thing probably takes 6 or 7 minutes at the most. If I can get that far, I usually like to say, would you like to know what Jesus asks you to do now? And they said, well, yeah. I said, I'd like to take him over to Matthew 7th chapter about the wise man and the foolish man. And as you read about the wise man and the foolish man, even so many of our members, they think that, hey, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man is the wise man builds house on the rock. And so many other people think, well, the foolish man builds house down on the sand. But if you go back and you read it, let me just take a look-see here. Okay, Matthew 7:34 in the Inspired Version. And he says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And 35 is, And every one that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now, he's talking about us to be doers. To just sort of be a glider doesn't count. Somebody once even told me, he says, hey, if the Lord will say something in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's so. Two or three witnesses to be a doer? Okay. Well, in the Book of Mormon, off the top, over 600 places it tells us to be doers. Doctrine and Covenants, it's not as many. It's only around 250. Old Testament, 980 times. And the New Testament is only 520. Are you a doer? What's your heart's desire? I mean, this is your time, brothers and sisters. The door is wide open. I don't know how you're feeling. Some days my get up and goes, got up and went, and I move from one chair to another. Sometimes, see, I have to believe in old Satan. Satan desires that I keep my mouth shut. He would like me to feel bad, and I'm just too tired to go and witness. Matter of fact, there we find in 2 Nephi, 14th chapter, he says, it's the spirit of Satan that entices a man not to pray.
How's your prayer life? How's your study life? You know, if you never open your books and you keep them brand new, boy, he would like that because they can pass them on to your next of kin after you're dead and buried. Hey, man, here is a brand new set of books, never been opened. Every once in a while, I find those in the Goodwill and other great places like that. But these are some things. If your life with the Lord Jesus Christ is, again, a little bit like plain yogurt, it's not anybody else's problem except yours. And you need to look at this and take it personally. And if I can step on your toes, praise the Lord. Somehow, more of us need to come alive and become active in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's things that's going on to support one another. It's like coming to church where he says, we're commanded to meet together often that we might strengthen one another. And that's here. But I see it the same thing at when we talk about the district level, is that we're commanded to meet together often that we might strengthen one another. People I found in talking about domestic ministry didn't realize there were other people who had the same problems we did. And there will be a group of 6 or 7 here and a group of 10 here and a group of 5 down here. They didn't know about everybody else. So in your time of prayer and trying to support, I know you're trying to grow and look at some basic things. We have young people here who need to learn how to cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's ever been a vital part of your prayer services or your daily prayers, pray about the parents. And you, as a brother or sister, it's your responsibility to get in there and help teach in Sunday schools, to help in prayer services, to remember these young mothers. Hey, if you're a grandparent, you're not pushing around too much, you don't have too much to do, go supply and be an assistant grandmother or a grandpa, where you can maybe share some of the things about Jesus with them. Somehow we need to motivate one another to be able to walk the walk with Jesus Christ. Well, folks, I don't want to get wound up here, but hey, what a privilege. What a day we're living in. If I want to dig up a bunch of stuff and feel down about, hey, I can find it on the news. Somebody once said, don't tell me what you doubt, tell me what you believe in. I've got enough doubts of my own. So that's the way it is out there. But this is an exciting, exciting time. Now, as I talked a little bit about Mike and Jonah and what a neat couple of guys it was to travel with, hey, I would travel with them anywhere in the world. I mean, they have that get up and go. They've been properly taught. Hey, I like it because I feel comfortable anytime to call them on them for a 2-minute testimony, just like that. And they know I expect it. Each one of you should expect it. And maybe next time, if I'm allowed to come and speak again, maybe I can have some other 2-minute testimonies.
We're going to be down to about 3 people.
But, hey, God bless you. And what an exciting time to be here trying to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus and to bring hope unto the people in this part of the Lord's vineyard. God bless you.
We've all been challenged this day to be a witness for Jesus Christ, that we might bring many souls unto Him. My prayer is that we might truly have that testimony on our hearts, that we might share. May we, in closing, turn to Hymn 305.
Oh, sure, she needs my hand. Oh. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service and to the close of the services this day, we praise your name, dear Father, for we have truly witnessed your spirit here today. The enthusiasm, dear Father, that George has brought, I hope it can become contagious, that all of us might become a stronger witness for you. You've given us our lives, dear Father. You've given us every breath. We need to reciprocate by sharing the gospel with each and every one who is willing to listen. Please be with us and keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.